How does hosting migration work? One of the first thing we do when we take on a new client, oftentimes, is moving to a new host, simply because they tend to be running on, you know, low-cost hosting providers or some that don't really support some of the tools that we need, or they face some performance issues that are purely based on the, you know, infrastructure and so on and so on. So again, migration is a really common thing. We do that, you know, a couple times a month or so. So again, it happens quite so often. And most of our clients do ask, you know, what's the process of actually migrating their website? Like, what does it entail? What does it include? What does it mean when you move from one site to another, and there from one hosting vendor to another? And there are also some common questions that we hear related to those migrations, which is what I'm going to discuss right now. So first off, from a context standpoint, we're going to assume that you have a, you know, decent high scale website, probably serving hundreds of thousands or millions of monthly sessions or views, you know, fairly decent site. You come to us and you say, hey, we face those problems, we need those technical things, and you know, basically listing down what you need. So oftentimes, again, we do find out that your hosting isn't really a great one. Like, for example, you may be running on a high-tier shared hosting provider or some generalist vendor, or something like, you know, even DigitalOcean, which isn't maintained and administered properly, things like that. You know, there are different combinations and different ways to structure that. Or you're with WP Engine, you're paying a ton of money, you don't have SSH, you don't have access to most things that we need to do, you have lots of block plugins, which is, again, another thing that, you know, we may be facing as a business problem. So with that in mind, we just say, okay, we need to perform a migration first. A migration will help us achieve a lot more, have better and more refined access to your server, be able to do version controlled environments here and different branches and different staging setups, stuff like that, in order to make use of your application, right? So once we agree on that, we actually have to evaluate the application, evaluate the platform. What do you currently use in your WordPress website? How is it structured? How large it is? What are the potential things that may go out of scope or out of budget in terms of your kind of monthly fee? Are there any ways to optimize those? And kind of what type of plan would you need? So the vast majority of our clients are with Pagely, and we're pretty happy with them. And they do have several different plans. Like, they do have VPS one at about $500 a month, it's $499. VPS two, which is a lot more powerful, for about $1,000. Then they have the enterprise tier starting from about $2,000 a month. And then there are different combinations for high availability, so that you can have, you know, for instance, a dedicated database server or multiple web servers behind a load balancer, or a combination again of multiple web servers with several database servers for scalability. It really depends again on how large your website is, how heavy, and how much traffic it gets, right? Because if it has to account for thousands and sometimes tens of thousands of concurrent users at a time, well, of course, if some of those requests are not cached, you simply need a lot more horsepower. That's pretty much it. So once we pinpoint the right setup, again, there, you know, we usually end up with again a VPS, you know, a kind of dedicated Amazon container or whatever other type of dedicated server it is, and possibly a dedicated database server as well, in order to make sure that we don't take over the resources of other accounts and vice versa. Like, we are not impacted by performance issues due to other sites hosting in the same database cluster. So once we decide on that, and once we establish it, we have to make an inventory of the existing website. So every WordPress website, looking from a broader perspective, it has the WordPress core, which is the standard WordPress software. It has other files, which are themes and plugins. Sometimes you have other set of files, ads.txt, robots.txt, other proxies or something else running in your root folder, or you know, anything else kind of exposed to the web outside of Teams, for instance, the WordPress core. So that's kind of the file part of things. Most of the time, you also have the media, or rather, we do treat the uploads folder as a separate entity, as well as the upgrade folder or anything else in WP content. So you may have all of your uploads, which are images for your websites, possibly documents, which are, you know, PDFs, doc files, anything else uploaded for within your application, videos, sometimes audio files, like stuff that you upload, and this kind of resides in your uploads folder. So that's another thing, possibly upgrades and others, which are backups, which normally we have to kind of get rid of while migrating, or at least kind of not move them over, because it's going to impact the load times of the web. Well, not the load times, but the duration of the migration process itself. So to sum up, we do have files on one end. We also do have uploads, which are assets, on the other end. And I'm treating them differently, because you can actually store the media somewhere else, like on a separate server, or you may have media kind of put from one side across all of your staging environment, so it may be a separate thing. You may have to do separate things about it, like make sure that it's safe, it isn't publicly accessible, which is the default behavior of WordPress, and other things. And of course, you can store it in Amazon S3 or even Dropbox or somewhere else, in order to actually extract it from your core WordPress install itself. So those are two things. The third main thing is the WordPress database, which is your warehouse, which stores posts and pages and users, links to attachments, comments, and taxonomies, tags, categories, options, and a bunch of other things, which is actually your data. So we end up with files, media, and data. Those are the three main things that we have to migrate. Now, most legitimate hosting vendors, they are fairly, you know, they provide you some actual proper access so that you can make a complete backup of your files and possibly media, and also export your database. But several different things may happen here, and I'm going to enumerate some of those. First off, you may be with a host which doesn't really let you do that, right? Like the cheapest shared host, they usually give you cPanel, so you can do kind of a complete backup there. You have phpMyAdmin where you can export that. So even on the cheapest host, it's kind of doable. But some managed hosts really don't do that, or they just provide you with a very limited access, or put some constraints that are unrealistic, so you can't really export those yourself because you're way above their kind of negligible limits. So that's another thing that you need to keep into account. Like some people try to, like if you have SSH access, you can easily log into the shell, take an archive, tar file, zip file, whatever, of your files and probably your media, and just move it to a separate server. Like you can upload it to Amazon, you can directly copy it to your new server, or do anything else, like download locally and take on a flash drive if you have a large enough flash drive, and take care of this one later. So that's one thing to look at that. If you don't have that, you go to cPanel or some other type of panel and you try to take the export and the backups from there. Or you go to the dashboard of that specific company and you try to find the backups place and take a snapshot of your website. And if you do that, make sure that what you're taking a backup of is actually does contain what you need. The reason I'm saying that is sometimes backups are limited. Like some companies, they limit your backups only to, for example, your plugins and Teams folder or something else. So you may end up with an incomplete backup that has a number of things that you don't really need. On top of that, some hosting providers integrate specific plugins. Like WP Engine has a must-use plugin, which configures object caching and a number of other things. So if you directly migrate elsewhere, your website is going to crash big time, 99% of the time. So you need to know how to either completely remove that plugin or perform other type of activities in order to make your site up and running on your new host. So just keep that in mind. Those are some specifics of some hosting vendors, and those are important to note. Another one, and probably one of the, it's not the last solution, but one of the, again, common attempts, is using a backup plugin, like Backup WordPress, Backup Buddy, Duplicator, and some other ones. So you can try those and try to make a backup of your website. Usually you may hit two types of limits here. So the first one is kind of timeouts, just taking 30 seconds, 90 seconds or something else for your backup to complete. And if it doesn't, the process may hang out and you know, it will just left unfinished. Most backup plugins try to do it in a dynamic manner, like wizards, just refreshing internally every 10 seconds in order to prevent that. But still, you may hit some limits or some throttling on your server, which is trying to prevent some form of a massive attack taking lots of resources on your server. So all things considered, when you have the inventory and you have the files and the database and the media, what you need to do is go to your server, make sure you have the proper access, create a new database, import your database to the new one, copy the files over, copy the uploads in the same folder probably, and point out the domains. So the domain should point to the new server. And I'm going to walk through this as well. So first, in terms of copying and importing, you may have some problems with the database export as well. Aside from hitting some limits there, another thing is there may be encoding problems. There may be some collation problems or some specifics of your export or difference in the MySQL versions, which may fail when you're importing to the new server. So obviously, well, not obviously, but most of the time you're going to see those while you're trying to perform the migration. Like you're going to import, something's going to throw kind of a fatal error and you're going to debug separately. But still you need to keep that into account because it's not that uncommon. So that's one thing. Another thing is you may actually not have the types of permissions to import a completely new database. Or you may have to prepare only the insert statements considering that your database tables are already created. This is less likely, but we've seen that. And again, you still have to keep it into account because it may be a problem. So once you migrate the database, you need to copy the files over. Now, some hosting providers do let you kind of pick your path of where do you want to ship your folder and let you kind of unzip the entire WordPress folder and make it work this way. But other vendors, other hosting providers, they do provide a WordPress install for you. So they only let you tinker with WP content or something else. Like Pagely do ship the WordPress core installation in one folder kind of across the entire web system. So everything is symlinked into the main folder. So you only need to copy the WP content folder and anything else in the root folder if needed. Presidion, for example, don't let you push directly to production, which is kind of okay, but they don't have SSH, which is not. So you need to kind of push everything to staging via FTP, which is horrible, or one of the backup plugins if you can make it work. So work with FTP and then push everything to production, which again is just a separate step. Usually it's a good thing, but it's just a bit tedious if you have to do some last minute changes on production anyway, or just make sure that your URLs are not going to be overridden or some other auto magic that the hosting vendor does. So those are just a couple of examples. So once you move the data, which is WordPress core, plugins, themes, uploads, and the database imported, you can technically run your website. So it already resides on the new server. If you're actually going to use the same domain, all you need to do is figure out what's the right process of connecting your old domain to the new hosting. Usually it's through an A record or a CNAME record in your DNS provider. So you have to go to GoDaddy, Namecheap, or wherever your domain has been bought from. Alter the DNS records, point them to the new server instead, and make it work from the new vendor. That's what you need to do. Sometimes you would have to point them to the new hosting provider directly. It's less common, but if you're managing everything else like emails and so on there, it probably makes sense. So you may want to consider this as well. Also, there's a chance you're using Sucuri or Cloudflare, so your actual forwarding has to happen through Cloudflare instead of your domain provider. So make sure you understand how your infrastructure works and what types of proxies you have between the server and the public, because having some form of an web application firewall is fairly common too. So this may be your setup as well. If you have already a load balancer, multiple web servers, multiple database servers, it's likely that you have different configuration and different settings for your object caching or page caching or something else. So make sure that your old environment is somewhat similar to what you're moving over to, or you take the right steps to ensure that everything will run as anticipated. For example, for dedicated servers, when you're actually increasing resources, or for cloud containers, you usually have to fine-tune the parameters of your PHP FPM, of Nginx, your MySQL connections pool, and other things, because you want to make sure that you have an optimal configuration. So if you're upgrading to a better one, you want the config to reflect what sort of hardware and infrastructure you're using, right? Otherwise, it's like upgrading from 4 GB to 16 GB of RAM on your PC and just kind of sticking to a maximum limit of 4 GB. Your hardware can accommodate more, and you need to tell your system, operating system, to do that. And that's why actually we moved from 32-bit operating systems to 64, because the 32-bit only managed to read as much as kind of 4 GB of RAM, as an example. So yeah, that's what the migration actually entails. There's also one more thing, SSL certificates. Nowadays, every website out there has an SSL certificate. So moving from one server to another requires some special attention in this area. Why am I saying attention? Because first off, if you move to a new environment and point the new domains there and it doesn't have SSL, then you're screwed. Your website's not going to load properly on HTTPS. It's going to throw a security error because you don't have a certificate. Now, migrating the certificate may be tedious because usually once it's set up, you don't really keep track of your CSR or your private keys and other things. So you may not have sufficient access to actually pull your certificate completely from your old server to the new one in order to make it work. Moreover, sometimes when you move from one host to another, some SSL certificate providers don't let you run the same certificate across two servers at the same time. So they may actually, once you activate on a new server, they may block it on your old server, making the migration pretty much urgent because your current kind of live website is not going to be live. Nowadays, there's Let's Encrypt. It's much easier to actually make a website working by generating an SSL kind of internally, but you still have to keep into account different constraints, the fact that you would need to supplement the CSR data like company address, vendor, everything else that needs to be inserted into a certificate. You need to decide between the right type of certificate because you have, you know, domain validity, organizational, and extended, which have different types of protection or different, they're reflecting different ways in the browser, which is also important. So decide upon that. So a very important factor is if you need a wildcard SSL certificate, which means that it's an SSL certificate which also defends your subdomains, right? So again, if you have subdomains, if you have a multi-site which is subdomain based or anything like that, you want to make sure that you can also accommodate that. So that's again also super important. So yeah, I mean, if we have to kind of sum it up, there are lots of things that may happen in between, like lots of limitations, lack of sufficient access, kind of buffer limits, timeouts. Quite a lot of things may really happen. But in a nutshell, if we take a very simplistic approach to that, you need to move the database from one place to another along with the files, instruct the new server to render that domain from that specific folder, connect the new site to the database, of course, and to the uploads, move the SSL certificate or set up a new SSL certificate, make sure Cloudflare and everything else is in place, set up your kind of server arguments in order to fine-tune that and customize it, test it before going live, of course, because otherwise it's weird. You can also, there's one life hack, you can set local DNS records. On Linux, it's under etc hosts. This is a file where you can say, I want my domain to point to this IP instead, which is the IP of your new server. You can also do that on Windows and Mac. There's, it's on Windows, it's in in your C drive under probably Windows System 32 or so. On Mac, it's again somewhere in the system folders. So this is a way for you to actually test that with your actual domain before going live, because otherwise you may still have to do a complete search and replace of your URLs before going live, and this may also throw some kind of regressions. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Again, it may get a bit more complicated for more complex websites, but that's the gist of it. So if you are about to perform a migration, it's not rocket science, but you have to account for quite a lot of things. Like sometimes you may be moving to another managed host, which blocks some of your plugins, so you may actually lose some functionality while migrating over, and so on. So keep those into account. For new dedicated servers, you may have to install additional PHP modules. Well, it may really get tricky. There are lots of dependencies that you need to sync, but for the most part, it's for the good. So if you've decided on that, just pick the right partner. Make sure you've done the right due diligence. Work upon a checklist for migration. Follow it, do a kind of soft launch, soft migration, test it, see if it works properly, schedule the right time, plan a content freeze, and then make it happen. So yeah, that's all for now. If you have any questions, go to devdaop.io. My name is Mario Peshev. It was a pleasure, and stay tuned for the next episode.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.